It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46!
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. As the gentleman said, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you for the next 30 minutes. And if the calls keep on coming in, we will extend the show another 15 minutes if you like. The phone number, 201-939-4513. Again, 201-939-4513. And also, we are all things social media here at the Giants. Facebook, Twitter, you can find us at Giants. And for this show specifically, any questions or comments, please include that hashtag Giants chat. And it is Tuesday. We're coming to you live from the Giants facility, and the Giants practiced yesterday. They'll practice again today. They'll practice again on Wednesday. Thursday will be kind of like a walkthrough, a kind of low-key day, and then Friday is preseason game number 3 against the Chicago Bears. And for folks out there who just despise preseason like I do, this is
now,
the one.
Now.
I do. I can't stand preseason. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Like last night, for example, Eagles and Patriots. You know what I did? I DVR'd the game. I went on my run. I went to dinner. I came back, and I watched until Michael Vick got out of the game, until he was hurt, and he went out of the game. And then, so I just, you know, you want to watch the starters. The Giants are different. The Giants, there's a ton of players that are competing for roster spots.
Absolutely.
We've been covering this team for the past 4 weeks. We know who they are. We know who we're cheering. We know who we're championing for. Other teams, I don't know who they are. I don't know who's competing. You know what I mean? Like, all I watch it for my fantasy football because I want to see. Okay, so right
folks,
now.
Folks, it always comes back to that, doesn't it?
To fantasy football.
It always does.
So right now, you know, I've got a big red flag under Mike Vick because because he went down last night against the Patriots, and we're going
to
get into
a shot
that.
To the ribs, I
yeah.
might add.
Yeah.
Not nice.
Yeah, we're going to get into that NFC East. We're going to talk a little Michael Vick and Dez Bryant a little bit later on in the show, but my whole point is if you despise preseason, preseason game number 3 is probably the only game that you really want to watch. Why?
I'll accept that.
Because this is where your starters play at least a half, if not into the third quarter. So this is like this is the meat and potato game of preseason. So I'm really, believe it or not, I'm really excited about this game. And on top of that, Paul, I mean, you're going up against the Chicago Bears. They have improved themselves immensely in this offseason. They add Michael Bush to that backfield with Matt Forte. They finally pay Matt Forte what he's due and what he's worth, and they bring in Brandon Marshall. They draft a few fun, exciting young guys, Jeffrey being one of them. So this is going to be a great test for Big Blue come Friday night.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see it, Anita, because there are certainly more skill position players, more talent on the Bears than the Jaguars or the Jets, at least as far as I'm concerned. Some other people may disagree, but I think we both agree that this Bears offense will provide the Giants D with their best look of the preseason. We know that Bill Belichick isn't going to play any of his starters in Game 4. He never does. They don't even get one snap. They stand in street clothes. So this is really the last shot, and the only real shot that the Giants' defensive starters are going to have to be pushed at all. And I need to see that. I especially need to see, the Giants' secondary, if they've got things all together, how Prince responds to what has been an up-and-down camp for him so far. Need to see how that defensive tackle rotation is going to work against a, I'm not going to say a ferocious Bears offense, but a better Bears offense, like I said, than it was before. So these are things I'll certainly be hopeful of as we watch that game.
Again, 201-939-4513, the phone number 201-939-4513. We want to hear from you, Big Blue fans. It is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's talk about practice yesterday. Some great news. Let's start with the good news as opposed to the bad.
Hakeem Nicks.
That's right. Hakeem Nicks practiced yesterday and actually looked quite good. Made an impressive grab. But I guess the big question mark is he going to play in any preseason games?
You know, I don't think there's any way he plays against the Bears. There's a possibility he'll play against the Patriots. He told me yesterday he'd like to get a couple of series in against New England because he wants to get his feet wet before the regular season starts. However, his time frame has always been to be ready for Dallas in the regular season opener, and he said that has not changed, and he fully expects to play against the Cowboys, and it's up to the coaches and the medical staff as to whether or not they'll allow him on the field against the Patriots. He said he'd like to get some action in there. The coaches usually win that battle, Anita, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and they want to take it slow with Hakeem Nicks. Also, Jaquan Williams was back at practice today, which is great news. Or yeah, I should say yesterday, sorry, because he's been dealing with that hip issue.
Yeah.
And the fact that Boley has not really been able to participate in camp.
Hammy.
Because of a hammy. I mean, look, this linebacking core with Jaquan Williams, he's an asset. I mean, he's just such a great talent to have in that core.
Yeah, I've never felt that this hip injury was going to be very serious, and it's good to get him back potentially now for the third game so he can get some reps in and kind of shake off the rust. In fact, speaking of rust, I think we should go back to Nicks for just a second because we've talked about how he has bulked up, and I'm getting a ton of questions on my Twitter page, Giants WFAN, by the way, and people want to know, is Nicks slowed down? And I'll tell you what, you can't tell right now from practice, really. We need to see him at game speed. So everybody hold your horses on that. We'll find out exactly where Nick stands once he gets into a game. And it may not be till opening night against Dallas. But, you know, to gauge where he stands speed-wise based on what we're watching here at the Timex Center is rather difficult to do. So I just want everyone to be patient with him. And then the other guy we should mention, Anita, is Mark Herzlich, who had a hip pointer the other night against the Jets and came out, didn't play, most of the second half. He told me earlier yesterday that, oh, it's only pain. It's only pain. I'll be out there. He can taste that starting lineup spot. He wants to be the starting middle linebacker for this team, and he's not going to be denied. So he will play through the pain. He's going to practice through the pain. He said, hey, that's not going to stop me. I said, hey, if a 330-pound lineman's not going to stop you, what's a little pain, right? So he wants to make that challenge for Chase and is not going to let this stand in the way.
Again, 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live, coming to you live from the Giants facility. Let's head out to New York City. Roy wants to talk about offense. Roy, welcome.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Paul Herzlich survived cancer. Pain's nothing to him.
Exactly. No question.
Right. I had a question about the offense and personnel. I think it's pretty clear they're probably going to keep three tight ends with Robinson, Pasco, and Martellus Bennett. Where do you see the breakdown in the offensive line and running backs? I've read some websites, and I find it hard to believe that the Giants would only keep four running backs, including Heinoski, but you know, maybe they keep an extra wide receiver. What do you hear, and what do you think is going to happen with the offensive breakdown in the different position groups?
Best case scenario on the running backs, you'll have Bradshaw, Ware, Wilson, and maybe one more. Could it be Brown or Scott? Certainly. Neither one has necessarily had a great summer, so it could always be somebody else as well. But I would think that's as far as it's going to go. I don't think Scott and Brown will both make the team unless they are allowed to stash Brown back on practice squad again. I'm not even sure what his eligibility is this year because they seem to change the practice squad eligibility rules each and every season. As far as the tight ends, I think you're right. They will probably keep all three. Offensive line, my friend, that's a problem. Will Beattie's got this sciatica in his lower back, And that is a real dilemma for Coach Coughlin because he does not know exactly how that's going to shake down, if he needs an extra offensive lineman to protect himself with that, or if he's got enough here. Do they want to go out and claim somebody else off the waiver wire a couple of days before the season starts? I just don't know. And remember, the Giants also have to worry about carrying an extra safety because Tyler Sash has been suspended for the first four games of the regular season. And okay, on top of that, they're probably going to have to carry an extra defensive tackle because every day goes by, it doesn't look like Chris Canty is going to be available for the opener either. So they've got some things they're going to have to deal with. Hey, how could I possibly forget this? Terrell Thomas is out for who knows how many weeks. Hosley is got this turf toe type injury right now. You don't know how much time he's going to miss, so you probably have to carry an extra corner also. It's going to be pretty nasty as the Giants try to make these final cuts.
201-939-4513. Really quick before we move on to some Twitter questions and some questions from Big Blue Interactive. Tom Coughlin did address Will Beatty and the offensive line situation and really is putting a spotlight and a big emphasis on Sean Locklear.
Got to do it. Got to do it. I mean, look, UI and Jeff Fiegels sat in the box together watching that Jets game. And Locklear did okay against a very mediocre Jets team. Against superior competition, it's going to be a problem. Do you want him going up against Arakpo? Against DeMarcus Ware?
Okay, now this is where it gets interesting. Now this is where it gets interesting.
Eli won't be laughing.
No, absolutely not. But this is where it gets interesting. Now, fast forward. You have a suspect offensive line, big concerns on your – what is the number one priority of this offense? Keeping Eli healthy, okay? So now you've got an offensive line that is a little shaky there. You've got some big concerns. So now phase two is max protect. You're going to need help out of the backfield. You know what Ahmad Bradshaw can do in regard to max protect and keeping Eli safe. How much playing time? There's a lot of excitement around David Wilson, and he is explosive, and he is exciting, and he's going to make big plays. However, if this offensive line is suspect, how much playing time, how often are we going to see David Wilson on the football field? Because, Paul, coaches are going to be concerned he's not going to be able to read the defenses, he's not going to be able to pick up the blitz, and he's not going to help with max protects to the best of his ability. He's going to need some seasoning. He's going to need some years in the league to really kind of get up to speed how Ahmad Bradshaw could help Eli out of the backfield in regard to protecting him.
That is such a great point, Anita, and it goes to the inside part of the game, how there is a domino effect. Everything on the football field affects something else on the football field. And not a lot of people understand that. They look at the ball carrier or the wide receiver or the quarterback, and they think that he's on an island and that everything he does is all about him. It's not. And this is a great example of how the running backs are affected by the O-line. Quite honestly, another way that the Giants could do a max protect is to make sure they go with double tight ends a lot. And you'll see maybe Martellus Bennett and Bear Pasco in the game simultaneously to kind of help out with the blocking scheme.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Florida. Milo is on, wants to talk about rookie reps. Milo, welcome.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Well, how are you?
Pretty good. I had a concern here, and I mean, I'm very happy with the progress I see on the field, but I see a lot of teams, especially particularly the 49ers and Tampa, which are two of our main competitions, I think, in the NFC.
Tampa? You think Tampa is a Super Bowl contender?
No, I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl contender, but that's not my question.
Well, you said in the NFC, which says to me that you think they're going to the bowl.
No.
Okay.
That's not my question.
My question is this.
I see them utilizing, giving the rookies a lot more time as far as with the first team. And I see the people like Jernigan and Ramsey's Barton, who to me are like dead horses, are taking up time that should be given to Reuben Randle. I mean, I think obviously that's going to be the guy.
All right, wait a second. I got to stop you.
I got to stop. About this question about protection, he needs to get more time, more reps.
Okay. Now I want to make something very clear. Ramsey's Barton has been here for 4 years, and he hasn't shown a whole heck of a lot. And the Giants are trying to give him one final last hurrah to see if he can prove that he belongs on this team. So, yeah, he does need to get some snaps. I don't think he's done a whole lot with them, but he does deserve that opportunity, and it's really his last opportunity. Jarrell Jernigan is almost like a half of a rookie, because even though he was here last year as a rookie, there was no offseason program after he got drafted. And then, as you know, he had all kinds of problems handling the ball, and so he barely got into games and barely touched the ball. And so he was so far behind the eight ball, he is not your typical sophomore NFL player. So he needs a ton of work. And the Giants know they need him to produce this year. They have to get something out of Jarrell Jernigan, because he provides the quicks and the jukes at the receiver position and in the return game, of which they don't have on this roster. So they're doing everything they can to get Jarrell Jernigan coached up and as experienced as possible so that he can give them something. So for you to tell me that they need to take away reps from Jarrell Jernigan to give them to Reuben Randall, I'm not buying it.
I think that I think he's a good player, but I think as far as the return game, I think that the other rookie from Virginia Tech is much more explosive player on Hosley's a much more explosive player on the returns.
Well, they tried to use Hosley on returns the last couple of weeks as well, and you saw he had the muff against Jacksonville, and then he got hurt the other night against the Jets. So for the time being, you have to shelve that idea.
Yeah, but I think, didn't Jernigan muff a punt as well?
Jacksonville, yes, he did.
David Wilson.
David Wilson, right now, they're looking at him as a kickoff return guy, and they're looking at Jernigan as potentially the punt return guy.
And my question with David Wilson is, for instance, Martin, the guy that was that Tampa took, that Kate moved up to take in the draft over Wilson, which I think was a very explosive player as well. They are giving him much more reps as far as with the first team. And I'd like to see Wilson get a lot more reps, because the more he gets, the more he'll learn. And as we know, Ahmad Bradshaw tends to get hurt a lot.
All right, Carl, we're going to let you go, but I would only say this, Anita. It's very important for the coaching staff to believe in the player's bookwork skills and his mental skills before they put him on the field and give him those physical reps. If he can't prove mentally that he's got that stuff down, the protections, et cetera, he's not going to get the reps on the field, because they can't take a chance that he'll make a physical mistake and get Eli killed. You understand that?
Absolutely.
And I feel bad that so many fans just want to see Wilson carry the ball and do what he does. That's great. I get all of that. But, folks, there's more to the game than just running like a freight train.
Yeah. And like I said, I really, you know, I think there's going to be some concerns here in regard to that offensive line and the decision and how much playing time we're going to see David Wilson get, because Eli's going to need that help in that backfield.
I'd like to know, instead of hearing and getting all these questions on Twitter about, oh, you know, why isn't David Wilson getting more shots at the first team, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me say this. He did practice with the first team yesterday. Keep in mind, Ahmad Bradshaw has that hand contusion. Mm-hmm. So not sure, A, if he's going to play against Chicago, and if he does play, how many reps he's going to get. So, I mean, you know, fans, brace yourself. I think you're going to get a really heavy dose of both DJ Ware and David Wilson on Friday night against the Chicago Bears. So stay tuned for that, for sure.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, this is going to be Wilson's first real game test at picking up those other things, the nuances of the game, as coaches like to call them. What I'm more curious about, to be honest with you, Anita, is what the fans think more about this defense right now, because the defensive tackle rotation has been decimated by injury. And, you know, it's flashy and sexy to talk about a receiver or a running back, but the DTs, they do a lot of the dirty work. And if you don't have a stout defense in the interior of your defensive line, you got a problem. And right now, the fans should be a little bit more worried about that than I think that they are.
201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat for questions or comments about the show. Let's head to Pennsylvania. Dorothy's on board, wants to talk about Virginia Tech rookies. Dorothy, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
That's good. David Wilson and Jaron Hosley, they got into the freshman class of 2013. Okay, my daughter got into the same class. Now, Virginia Tech had the highest entering GPA in the history of the school. and it was 3.93. So they are no dummies. They are smart.
Nobody's saying that they're dummies, and nobody's saying that they're not smart.
No, they will catch on a lot faster than you think they will.
Well, understand something as well, Dorothy. Two things. Number one, to the transition from college to the NFL is night and day in some aspects in regard to, and I'm sure hopefully you've heard this, the speed of the game and also the intricacies and the disguised schemes that defensive coordinators will come with. So it's not necessarily, you have to be smart in order to kind of understand and pick up what other teams are doing. But it's going to take time. It's not like he's going to pick it up in a game or two. It's going to be a season before he really, truly gets a feeling for what Jim Haslett and the Washington Redskins are disguising in their defense. And also, in regard to Reuben Randall, and the playbook, Kevin Gilbride, this offensive playbook for the Giants is probably, you know, as big as War and Peace. I mean, this is probably the most intricate playbook, offensive playbook in the NFL. So, again, the transition from college to pro is very difficult, and let alone to really digest this offense and what's expected of you when you're on the field is a lot, probably asking a lot more than any other team in the NFL. So please, by no stretch of the imagination, are we insulting their intelligence at all. It's not about so much their intelligence as it is about experience and getting out there and truly reading it and truly kind of understanding how the NFL works.
So, you know, Anita, what I really need to know is if Dorothy's daughter can play left tackle.
She could.
Well, I set her up. Get her over here.
But you know, she's a traitor. She's a Redskins fan.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad.
She's a traitor. Well, you know, she was born in the Washington, D.C. area, so, and I was born and raised in New York. So
I understand.
But, yeah, her father was a Redskins fan, so what can I say?
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah. It reminds me of that. Dorothy, thank you for the phone call. I'll always love to hear the ladies call in the show. It reminds me of that commercial that's out right now promoting the Dallas Cowboy Giants game.
Yes.
With Eli inside the Timex Performance Center and then Ware, DeMarcus Ware, lifting weights. And the guy's like, he's my only son, Eli. Come on, 5 touchdowns. And she's a Cowboys fan, and she's looking at Ware saying, come on, 5 sacks.
I love that commercial.
It's good.
It's good stuff.
Right?
Eli has really developed into a heck of a pitch man, I have to say. From the soft-spoken, quiet chipmunk that he was when he first got here to being a pretty good straight-faced comedian in some of these spots. Oh, Saturday Night Live kind of helped him out, too. Hey, Anita, I wanted to mention a couple of these other guys, though, before we get any further. Marvin Austin had told me yesterday morning that his back was okay, that they had cleared him to go, and that he fully expected to practice. And then the coach held him out yesterday for precautionary reasons, figuring that, you know what, maybe we shouldn't fuss with this. You know, the Giant DT situation is kind of skimpy, so they decided to hold Austin out. I would hope he's going to practice today because he certainly needs the reps, as many as he can get his hands on. I'd like to see him play against the Bears. You know, you mentioned Boley before. You know, the coach is very perplexed by him and his sore hamstring as to when he's going to get back in there. Beattie's bad back is keeping him out. We don't really know what the deal is with Hosley. You know, we've mentioned him in the last caller, but we don't know how long he's going to be out. I'm hoping it's only a couple of weeks, but, you know, coach says a turf toe type of injury. A lot of times that turns out to be about a month. And then there's Adrian Tracy, who, you know, a lot of people don't talk about. But you and I both know that the fourth defensive end in the Giants' rotation is important because they like to get these guys at least somewhat of a rest during the course of the game to keep them fresh so that they can get after the quarterback. Tracy was in position to become the Giants' fourth defensive end this year, replacing Dave Tollefson. He comes down with a hammy the other day against the Jets. I don't have any update on him right now. I did see him walking around yesterday in the locker room. He looked okay, but apparently he's not ready to practice yet. That's bad, okay, because right now there's really not much depth at defensive end behind him. Trotteau's got a bad foot. He wound up getting waived, so he can't help out. I don't know. You look at it, Ojomo, Marshall, some of these other guys who really are probably glorified practice squad players. I don't know that they belong on a 53. The Giants really need Tracy to get back in there.
201-939-4513. We're going to extend for another 5 minutes. We're going to go to 10:05. Paul, here's some questions from Twitter. This is from Joseph M. wants to know, has Rivers, and we're talking about Keith Rivers, linebacker Keith Rivers, shown he can be a playmaker at the linebacking position? Now, keep in mind, as we said, Michael Boley really hasn't participated this camp because he's been dealing with a hamstring ailment, which really has opened the door for Keith Rivers. He's gotten a ton of playing time. This, of course, up in Albany and then the two preseason games and, of course, going into this game on Friday night. So, really, the coaches have had a lot of opportunity to see what this young man can do. And more importantly, he stayed healthy. That was his biggest problem in Cincinnati. So your thoughts on Keith Rivers?
He's looked good. He looks quick. He looks assertive. He gets around the ball. So obviously he's got good instincts. He had 5 tackles in the first half against the Jets the other night before he came out of the game. And I think that was probably his best showing thus far since he got to training camp. Let's face it, you don't come out of USC a slouch. they've had some pretty good linebackers over the years come out of that program. So he's got some pedigree.
Let's head out to the phone lines, 201-939-4513. Tim is calling in from Jackson, New Jersey, wants to talk about Hosley. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, I got a question for you.
Okay, Tim.
How long will Jalen Hosley be out with a injured foot?
Well, that's really a mystery right now because they're saying it's kind of like a turf toe thing. Look, Anita, we've both been around, covering this league now for a lot of years, and some guys seem to be able to make it back in a couple of weeks. Others, it's a month. Others, it could be up to 6 weeks. I mean, turf toe is a very, very sketchy kind of injury, and Tom isn't even identifying it directly as turf toe. He's saying it's a turf toe type of injury. So to me, realistically speaking, if he's back within a month, I think that's probably really great. But I would kind of say just gut feeling says expect about a month or so, and anything beyond that or earlier than that would be gravy. I'll say this. You and I both know, Anita, that this guy was well on his way to taking that slot nickel corner spot. He proved it in the last week. I mean, he was coming on like gangbusters at practice and in the preseason. And, Antrell Roll was going to be able to go back to free safety, just what the Giants really want to do. And now this kind of throws that whole thing into a tizzy.
This is from Big Blue Interactive, Paul, Bold Ruler. What are your thoughts on DT, specifically Kuhn and Hendricks? Thoughts on both would be appreciated.
Well, I know you like Kuhn, and I appreciate that.
I like him because he's a nice young man.
Okay. I like production.
Right.
And I think Hendricks is clearly ahead of him. He should be. He's been around longer. Hendricks played very well, actually, the other night and made some plays against the Jags, too. It would appear that of the fringe guys who are benefiting from the injuries on the depth chart, Hendricks would be the one to most benefit. And he certainly, at this point, has a shot to make the 53 right now. He's a kind of guy who, takes a lot of pride in what he does, comes out of, good program at Miami, and he was telling people the other day when Coach praised him after the Jaguars game that that made him raise his game up even more because he feels a sense of responsibility that if Coach said something nice about me, I've got to make sure that I prove him to be right. That's a great attitude. So let's see.
This is on Twitter again, 201-939-4513, just about 5 minutes left in the show. So call us or hit us up on Twitter. It's hashtag Giants Chat. Will Ahmad Bradshaw get the most carries this season going in? I mean, Ahmad Bradshaw is the number one running back here. Brandon Jacobs is gone. So, that's good. I think that's going to help Bradshaw in regard to the number of carries he's going to get this season as opposed to having to really kind of share the load with Ahmad Bradshaw. This year compared to last year, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, last year I felt like it was Ahmad Bradshaw was the starting running back, but they kind of Brandon Jacobs stole a lot of his thunder and was incorporated a lot more. It was kind of like 1A and 1B, where this year I feel like it's Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah.
It's his team. He's the starting running back. And then well, we're going to incorporate DJ Ware at times, and we're going to incorporate David Wilson at times, as opposed to what it was last year. I think this is a much bigger year for Ahmad Bradshaw than last year. Agree or disagree?
I agree. However, I do think they want to be wary of overworking him with that habitual foot problem. I mean, give me a number. What would be your preferred number for how many touches Bradshaw gets per game?
I'm anticipating Bradshaw to get anywhere between 15 to 17 touches a game.
My number would be 18.
Okay.
So we're in the same ballpark there.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Don't want to see him taking 20 to 25. Not a good thing.
This is somebody else. Aloha Integrity LLC on Twitter wants to know, when are they going to give David Wilson a shot with the first team? Well, again, he did practice with the first team yesterday. He took a lot of reps with the first team yesterday. Do anticipate to see him. I'm anticipating to see him a lot against the Chicago Bears.
Well, they got to get him some work. No question.
This is from Eddie Boughton, wants to know, where is David Wilson in learning the playbook after two preseason games?
Well, you know, we can't tell a whole lot because it's not like he's had a ton of carries yet. What I do know this about him is that he can do a lot of things by himself. He's got enough quicks and enough jukes that he doesn't even necessarily have to follow the design of the play to make something really good happen. And I think that's probably his best attribute right now, is that his pure skill and talent can be very productive, even if he doesn't have everything down pat.
Really quick, before we do sign off, Paul, a few things. If you did watch that Eagles-Patriots Monday Night Football game last night, Michael Vick did go out of the game, took a shot to the chest. They weren't sure if it was a chest injury or a rib injury. The x-rays came back negative.
Yeah.
There was no broken rib, but he was definitely banged up. So... And that's got to be a – I mean, look, that team is going to do as well as they possibly can with Michael Vick at quarterback. So if Michael Vick's out of the game, if Michael Vick gets hurt and he's done for the season, the Eagles are in some pretty big trouble.
Well, yeah. And quite frankly, Anita, we talked about this before the show started this morning. It's my belief that this entire NFC East has question marks along each and every one of the offensive lines. We know what the Giants' question is with Beattie at left tackle, but – I don't think the Eagles' offensive line is very good. We know Jason Peters is out again, you know. I don't think the Redskins' offensive line is very good. And I don't think the Dallas offensive line is very good. So if you flop it to the other side and say, okay, well, who can best take advantage of the questions along those offensive lines? Well, I think we all know the Giants' defensive front is by far the best in the division and maybe the best in the NFL. So advantage Giants, but nonetheless... It's kind of worrisome for these teams not having a stout offensive line.
So keep an eye on that situation with the Philadelphia Eagles and Michael Vick. And then also with the Dallas Cowboys, Dez Bryant went down yesterday with a knee injury at practice. Reports are that it's not serious. There's some swelling in the knee, but he was walking around the facility after just fine. That's what a number of the reporters were saying. But you definitely want to keep an eye on that, because keep in mind, that's the first game. It's the Wednesday night game. And so just... how curious this knee injury is.
For the second straight year, Miles Austin has a bad hamstring problem. He missed all of last preseason. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to miss all of this preseason. Jerry Jones said the other day they don't think he's getting him back until maybe the opener. We know Jason Witten is also hurt as well. So imagine this. The Giants could be facing a Cowboys team, and I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but opening night, no Witten, no Austin, no Bryant. Laurent Robinson is with Jacksonville now. He
right.
signed as a free agent with the Jags. I mean, honestly, I don't want to overplay it, but what kind of weapons can the Cowboys really bring into this building that night if those three guys are out?
It will be interesting. So just to bring you up to speed on some news and notes around the NFC East. Again, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, you've been listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Back tomorrow, I believe John Schmelk will be hosting tomorrow. And also, keep in mind, on Friday, even though it is game day, John Schmelk and I will be hosting that morning. And so we will definitely dive in to the Bears-Giants matchup for preseason game number 3 on Friday morning. Stay tuned for that. Also, coming up on Giants.com, we'll have a number of interviews, player interviews from today, player availability. Also, our training camp report. I believe Paul and I will be doing that later on this afternoon. And later on tonight, don't forget, is Giants Week on MSG. So Bob Pop and Carl Banks will be hosting their Giants training camp live show on MSG at 7:30 p.m. So, again, a lot of player reaction from today's practice. And also, those phone lines will be open, and they'll be taking your calls during that show. And it's the same phone number, 201-939-4513. So, Paul, a lot going on here today at the facility, not only with the players, but with the Giants broadcast team as well.
Yeah, and also coming up this weekend, I believe, is the Giants blood drive with the Red Cross. And I know that Danny Lynch, VP of Sales and Marketing upstairs, was telling me yesterday they really want to see if they can get a big turnout. So go to Giants.com. I know you're on there now listening to the program, folks. Get all the details there, and I'll tell you all about how you have to sign up to donate blood, and it's a big deal to a lot of people who certainly need it. You do have to sign up in advance, though. I understand that you'll get an opportunity to take a photograph with the Lombardi Trophy. You know, the Giants have four of them. You'll get an opportunity to take a picture with the Lombardi Trophy from Super Bowl 46. I don't think they're going to give you a chance to shoot the other ones, but they'll have Super Bowl 46's trophy over at MetLife Stadium, and anybody who comes out for the blood drive, again, you have to pre-register, and it's going to be this weekend at the stadium, and all the details are on Giants.com.
Fantastic. Have a great day, everybody, and make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com.